The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
In the story of Purim, we find that there were two great forces opposing each other. From one side we had Mitzad Hara, from the evil side, Haman. From Mitzad HaTov, and from the good side, we had Mordechai Esther. Haman Bikesh Lahashmid Vahare Grabi, this Kol Yehudi. Haman had desires and he had a plan in which to destroy and totally annihilate all Jews, not of his okay, tough and ocean, old and young, men and women, be mechod on one day. And this is the one time in the single history of Klal Yisrael that all Jews were placed in the danger of death, because Ahasuerus ruled the entire world, 127 Medinas, and he had given authority to Haman to do as he likes with the Jews. When we had faced other dangers, it was either not as an entire nation, or if it was as an entire nation, it was not necessarily the case of annihilation. And this is what Esther told the king. Kini Ilu nimkanu ki nimkanu ani ve'ami lahashmi laharig ra'abed. We have been sold, I and my nation, to annihilation. Ve'ilu la'avodim l'shfoches nimkanu hecherashti. If we were sold to slavery, then I won't come and bother the king. And therefore the Gemara brings that this Sora, this great danger, was greater than even the danger from Pare in Mitzrayim, in Egypt. Me'abdus l'cheirus amrinan halal, mi'movus l'chaim le'kolshkein, the Gemara says in Masechta Megillah, in the first parak, that if we should praise Hashem with halal, when we were saved from Egypt, which was from servitude to freedom, then how much more so on Purim, Mimovis Lechaim, from death to life. And the Maral goes a point further, that not only Haman was on the verge of destroying the entire Jewish nation, but with that would have gone the world also. Because he made Yisrael ain't Torah. If there's no nation of Israel, then there's no Torah. In Vim Lebrisi Yema Valaila, Chuka Shemaim Leisamtim, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, if not for my Torah, then I will turn the world back to what it was before creation. So this was the great evil of Haman. On the other hand, Mordechai and Esther, that they were able to maneuver and to lead this great Yeshua, this great salvation. They saved not only Klal Yisrael, but they saved the entire world. And the Gemara brings that in many aspects the greatness of Mordechai was equal to that of Moshe Rabbeinu. Now if we will go back into the sources into the sources of these individuals, we'll be able to understand even better what was going on. The source of Mordechai and Esther is Yaakov Avinu. They came from Yaakov, from Jacob. The source of Haman, he came from Esau. He was a descendant of Esau. In Yaakov and Esau, we find were totally antithesis to each other. They were totally opposite of each other. Yaakov was the first foundation in the world and of the others of Avraham and Yitzchak to be known as the Dobuk B'HaKadosh Baruch Hu B'Teirosei, to the one who cleaved, who came to such heights to cleave to the essence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Almighty, and His Torah. And therefore it is written on Yaakov, Ish Tam Yesheva Olim. Ish Tam, Tam means Tmimus. Tmimus means with an uprightness, trust, with a full trust. The word Tomim comes from the word Tumim, that of twins. Just like twins are bonded together in the womb. This is how Yaakov was Ish Tam. He was bonded together with the Almighty. There was nothing between him and Hashem. And the Torah tells us in Parshas Shaftim, Tomim Tia Im Hashem Lekecha, that you should walk with a fullness of heart, with a total uprightness, with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not with a deviousness. And then, Tomim Tia Im Hashem Elokecha, Oz Tia Imoy. And then you will be with him. You will be totally together with him. Yosheva Olim, he dwelled in the tents. And that, the sages explain, Olim Shel Shem Ve'Eber. He dwelled in the tents of Shem and Eber. There he studied day and night. He studied the Torah until he came to the level where the sages tell us Surase Choku Kalkise Hakovet, that the image of Yaakov is hewed into the throne of the Almighty. The Almighty has a throne, and on all four corners of the throne he has a king. He has an eagle, which is the king of all of the birds, and he has a shor, a bull, which is the king of all of the animals, and he has the lion, which is the king of the beasts, and then he has a picture, an image of man, who is the king over everything in this lower world of ours. And the face of man is that face of Yaakov Avinu. And this is why he's called, Yaakov was known as the Kodosh. In the Shemayin Esrei, we have three brachas in the beginning part of the Shemayin Esrei, which we praise Hashem. And they're known as Oves, these are brachas of the Oves. And the first one is for Abraham, and the second one is for Yitzchak, and the third one is for Yaakov. And there we mention, okay, La Kodosh. Kedusha, sanctity. And this was Yaakov because he had elevated himself to a level of no other man. And through this, Mitosei Shlema, he gave birth to the Yud Bei Shvatim, to the 12 sons that were Kula Tzadikim. The Torah tells us all righteous to the point where Hashem placed his name in theirs. So this was Yaakov. Esau, on the contrary, we find just the opposite. Yudea Tzayid, Tzayid Befif. He was devious. He was Echad Belev, Echad Bepeh. He said one thing and he thought another. Just the contrary to that of a total trust in honesty. And he was the kofir. Not only he did not cleave to Hashem, but he denied HaKadosh Baruch Hu and his world. The Torah tells us, and Parshas told us, that when there was, when Yaakov wanted to get the firstborn birthright from Esav, and he offered him from the Adoshim, from the red porridge. So there was a discussion. Esav asked him, what is this birthright worth? And Yaakov told him, the one who is considered the firstborn, and at that time it was worth even more because that was the place of the Kahanim. He says, he has the skus, he has the great merit, where he can go and fulfill many, many mitzvahs, which he has first merit to. And Esav asked him, and if I fulfill mitzvahs, what is the reward? So Yaakov told him about Olam Haba, about HaKadosh Baruch Hu's creation, and the two worlds. So Esav said, Anechi Heilech Lomus, V'lomazeli Bechora. I am going to die. I don't believe in a world to come. There is no world hereafter. I don't believe in a creator. So why do I need this? What is this worth to me? What are mitzvahs worth to me? Mikan shekofar Esav b'tchiyas hameisim. From here we see that Esav denied the afterworld. He denied HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he was Nikra Edom. He was called Edom, his nation. Why? Edom means red. One reason is because the sun is red. And they worship the sun. Because the sun is the greatest physical force in this world. And if you do not believe in the Almighty, then you search for a great physical force in the world which might have created the world or might rule the world. So the Yaakov and Esav were totally opposite of each other. This is why we find that by Yaakov was the Metzius HaChaim, the essence of life. The Gemara tells us Yaakov Avinu Lemes. Yaakov really didn't even die. Because it states, "Vatem advekim, Hashem alekechem chaim kulchem hayein." Those that come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu are coming close to the essence, to the source of life. And Torah is Eitz Chaim, is a tree of life. And therefore, Yaakov Avinu lemes, he didn't die. The Gemara says, "We learned that he died. We learned that he was buried." So Gemara says we have to understand it in a different dimension, but he did not die like others. Esav, we find just the opposite. The Gemara says those who are idolaters, they worship Zivchei Mesim. These are the sacrifices of the dead. Because what are they bringing sacrifices to? To someone that can give life. And they cleave to death. And this was Esav's power. And Esav, it states, Al Harba Chotichya, he shall live by the sword. And living by the sword means death. Like the Torah tells us at the end of Parshas Yisrael, it says that when you make my Mizbeach, my altar, do not cut the stones. Because if you cut it with iron, if you cut the stones with iron, then you will desecrate my altar. The sages explain Amizbeach Nivro Laharich Yomim Shalodom Ba Basel Nivro Lekatzer Yomim Shalodom. The altar was created to bring life to people, while iron was created to take life away from people. And Esav lives by iron. So we see that Haman, who comes from Esav, and Mordechai and Esther, who come from Yaakov, they were totally two different types of powers, two opposing forces. We can go into this further. In particular, Haman comes from Amalek, the grandson of Esav. It states in the Megillah, Haman or Agogi, he was the descendant of Agag, who was the king of Amalek. Amalek was the son of Eliphaz, the son of Esav. And this individual descendant of Esav, in particular, excelled in distancing himself from HaKadosh Baruch Hu and in opposing the rule of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Like the Torah tells us at the end of Kisei Tzei, that immediately after Klal Yisrael came out of Egypt, it states that Amalek came to war with Israel. It states that both at the end of Bashalach and the end of Kisei Tzei, Vayovay Amalek Vayilochem Im Yisrael Berefidim, Amalek came to make war with them. And it states Velayore Elakim, they did not fear Hashem. And Kiyod Al Kesko, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that I raise up my arm and I swear by my Kise, by my throne, and by my name. That I will have a war with Amalek in every generation. And what does it mean? I raise up my arm, my hand, and I will swear by my throne and by my name. And the word kisei is written in abbreviated form, case. And the word Hashem is written in abbreviated form. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, he says that Ein Shmi Sholem Vein Kisi Sholem. My name is not complete and my throne is not complete as long as Amalek is in this world. So we see that Amalek he was in particular opposed to Israel, and just to the contrary where Yaakov was Tsurase Choku Kalkisi Akovid, where his throne, his image was emblazoned on the throne of Hashem, Amalek comes and he destroys the throne of Hashem. And just like Yaakov, unlike Yaakov, who brought this Torah into the world, Amalek comes and he opposes Hashem and his Torah to the point where Hashem says that I shall have a war with him forever. And not only does he do this for himself, but he causes this for others also. because the sages tell us Asher Korcha B'derech, he cooled off everyone. Moshe Lambati, give an example where you have a swimming pool and the water is boiling hot and nobody would dare jump into it. And along comes one brazen person and he jumps into it. Others now will follow because they see that someone has done it. No one would have raised a hand against Israel when they came out of Egypt. All of the nations of the world heard what happened and they trembled with fear. And along comes Amalek. And not only they were no longer fearful of Hashem and Israel, but they cooled this off for others to follow. They were the Cheta U'Machtes Arabim. And just unlike Yaakov, where he brought a oneness of Hashem's name into the world, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that my throne is not Sholem and my name is not complete. As long as Amalek is in the world, people will not recognize me. This is the nation that will espouse a darkness in the world, lies in the world. They will espouse distortion in the world, kfira, denial in the world. And therefore I will have a war with them forever. Until when? Until Bahoya Bayim Ahu Yashem Echorish Mayachot. On that day when they will be destroyed, then my name will be complete. And therefore the Gemara in Sanhedrin brings that Kishin Biknisosei Lo'oretz, when Klal Yisrael comes into Eretz Yisrael, they are nitztavu b'gimel mitzvahs. They are commanded in three mitzvahs. The mitzvah of making a king for themselves, and the mitzvah of destroying Amalek, and the mitzvah of building the Beis Hamikdash. And the Gemara says that in which order should it be? First they must make a king, then they must destroy Amalek, and then they will go to build the Beis Hamikdash. Because you cannot have the Beis Hamikdash and Amalek in the world at the same time. Because the Beis HaMikdosh represents the throne of Hashem in this world. It represents His name in this world. And Amalek represents the destruction of the throne of Hashem and the destruction of Hashem's name. Haman came. Haman was the descendant of Amalek and he perfected this avodah. He rose to unparalleled heights in this specialty, where he took these qualities of Esav, and then he took these qualities of Amalek, and he perfected it to new heights, to the point where he became unparalleled, where he became the greatest enemy of Israel in all of history, never to be paralleled. Like we brought at the beginning, there was only one that attempted to totally annihilate every Jew in the world. There was only one that came so close to succeeding. And from there the Gemara says that this particular individual who was amassing all of these qualities from Amalek and who had amassed all of these qualities from Esav and even added to it, had a particular source in the Eitz HaChaim, in the Eitz Hadas Tevaro, in the tree of knowledge between good and evil, Hamin HaEitz, there his name is mentioned in the Torah through a remes, through an inference, because that was the tree which the serpent used to bring death to a whole world. So this was the enormous force of Homa. On the other side, though, we find Mordechai and Esther. Where did they come from, in particular, besides coming from Yaakov? We find that they came from Binyamin. The Gemara brings that this, that it states in the Megillah Ish Yemini, Mordechai and Esther were from the Shevet Binyamin. They were descendants of Binyamin. Binyamin was the youngest son of Yaakov, and he was one of the two sons of Rachel. And we find that Binyamin was a great individual, a very, very great individual. But he also was a ben zug. He worked as a team with his brother Yosef. Firstly, these were the only two of all of the 12 sons that were the sons of Rachel. And this carries special significance, because Rachel was the Akeres Habayis, Eishes Yaakov. Rachel was always considered the main wife of Yaakov, because Yaakov went to Lavan and to work for Rachel. And we see further that Yosef helped in one way or another in the birth of Binyamin, because Rachel waited many years. She was a kora, she was barren before she could have a child. And finally, when she had a child, in Parshas Vayetze Lamed Chol Dalet, she said, "Batikra Shma Yosef." She called this child Yosef, Lemor, to say, "Yosef li ben acher." That HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yosef means to add, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should add to my lot another son. When Yosef was born, she named him after a plan that she will have another son. In other words, what it's saying to us is that Yosef played a role not only in his own birth, but even in the birth of Binyamin. And this was his very name. And Yosef will cause you to have two children, Binyamin also. The simple meaning could be, is that she was barren. She couldn't have a child. Once she had a child, so this showed that Hashem had cured her. So now it would be possible for her to have a second child. And this cure came through the birth of Yosef. The Gemara brings in Masechta Seta, Daf Lamed Vov Amud Beis, Tanya Hayorei Yosef Lotzeis Mimenu Yud Beishvatim. Yosef, in many aspects, was the greatest son of Yaakov. And he was so great that the Gemara says that just like Yaakov produced 12 sons which became the foundation of the house of Israel, Yosef himself also could have done that. Yosef lotzeis mimenu yud beishvatim kederek shiyotu miYaakov aviv. Shenemar eile told us Yaakov Yosef, because in Parshas Vayeshev it says at the beginning, these are the generations of Yaakov Yosef. This means that with the birth of Yosef alone, Yaakov could have achieved the birth of the 12 sons. Yosef had encompassed all of them, and he could have given birth to those 12 sons. But when it came to the episode of the wife of Potiphar, which was an enormous victory of Yosef, that he freed himself from the trap of the wife of Potiphar, but nevertheless, there he had some wrong thoughts, and he lost a small measure of this perfection that was required to give in order to give birth to 12 giants like the Yud Beis Shvatim. So therefore he only gave birth to two, but these two also became Shvatim. He gave birth to Ephraim and Manasseh. And when Yaakov saw Ephraim and Manasseh, he said, Keruven v'shimon yuli, they will be equal to my sons. And they were equal. They had a campsite like Reuben and Shimon. And they had a degel, they had a flag like Reuben and Shimon. And when it came to divide up the land, and every shevet received a portion, they also each received a portion. So two of the tribes he was able to bring into the world, but not the original 12. So he was lacking 10. The Gemara says, what happened to those 10? Afal pikein yotzu mi binyamin ochiv. His brother Binyamin had 10 sons, and those were the 10. They no longer were as great as the Shvatim, only Ephraim and Manasseh. But the other 10 came through his brother Binyamin. V'kulen nikru al shmari. And they were all called by the name of Yosef. Shenemar, as it states, V'nei Binyamin, when the Torah writes the names of the sons of Binyamin, Bela, Becha, Ashbel, it brings the names of 10 sons, and all of them are very strange names. What were the meaning of these names? Binyamin named everyone after his brother Yosef. Bela Shenivla Beina Umais. One he called Bela because my brother was lost in the nations. Becha Bechor Li'imai Hayo. One he called Becha because his brother Yosef was the firstborn to his mother, Rachel. Ashbel Shishavu El. Ashbel because he was captured. Gera Shigobach Sandres. He was called Gera because he had to live in strange places. Naamon Shinoim Beyeser. Another was called Naamon because my brother was so beautiful. Ochi Veroshi. Veresh. Ochi Hu Vereshi. He was called Ochi, he was my brother, and Roshi because he was my head. Bupim, the Chupim. Bupim, Rashi brings. Meforish Medrish Reb Tanchuma Shuyapiv Kipi Yaakov Avinu Bahalocha Shekibul Mishem Ve'ever. From the word mouth. From his mouth would come Torah and Halochas that only could be paralleled by that of Yaakov Avinu. Chupim, Hu Leira Bechuposi, Vani Lerisi Bechuposi. One was called Chupim because I wasn't at his chupa, Binyamin said, and Yosef was not at my chupa. Beirad, she Yore Labeinu Umes. He went down and was lost by the nations. Ikudamri, Shepon of Damon Leveret. His face was like that of a flower, of a rose. So we see that they worked as a pair. They both came from Rachel. Yosef was supposed to give birth to 12 sons. He shared this with Binyamin. He gave birth to two. Binyamin gave birth to the other 10, and Binyamin called the other 10 by the name of Yosef. And we find that Yosef eventually, ultimately, became a Melech Godol. He became a mighty king. Not only did he become a mighty king, he became a king over the entire world. Because the famine which was in Egypt, and everyone came to buy, so the Gemara in the last perek of Psochim darshins that the famine went throughout the entire world, and the whole world came to buy. And there Yosef was the Mishnah Lamelech. He was the viceroy, but he was the all-powerful viceroy. But even Pare would take orders from him. So he became a king over the entire world. And the Gemara brings, as an illustration to this, this Gemara also in Seder, the Gemara says that when he came to interpret the dream of Parai, and Parai was so impressed, he said, "I'm going to make you my viceroy, and nobody will lift his arm or foot in Egypt without your permission." Omru itztagnine Parai. The wise of Parai said to him, "Evet shadlochu rabbe besrim kesev tamshiluhu olenu." You take an evid. You just took a servant, a slave from the dungeon who belonged to Potiphar that he brought for 20 pieces of silver, and now you are making him a king over us, Egypt, the mightiest land in the world. Oma lehen ginune malchus ani reyeboy. Pare says, "I can see in him the powers of kingship." Rashi says, "He has gevura, I see the strength. He has the chokhmah, I see the wisdom. The yofi, I see the beauty. He is a king. He is not an eved, not a slave." Omr leim kein, yehei, yodea b'shivim loshem. If he's to be such a king of Egypt, then it's required that he should know all 70 languages. Bo Gavriel, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent Gavriel, the angel, the Limdei Shivim Loshem, who taught him the 70 languages. Lehava Kagomar. But Yosef couldn't learn the 70 languages that quickly. Hesiv Le Os Achas Mishmai. HaKadosh Baruch Hu took a letter from his name and put it into Yosef's name, the Lomar. And now he learned immediately the 70 languages. Shenamar Edus be Yosef, Somai b'tzeisa l'eretz Mitzrayim, Sfas liyadati eshmo. It's a pasuk in Tehillim, in Pei Aleph. It states Edus be Yosef Somai, that he placed a testimony in Yosef's name. Here it's written Yehosef with an extra vav. But says al Eretz Mitzrayim, when he went out over Egypt as the king, Sfaslo Yadati Eshmo, languages which he never knew before, all of a sudden he was able to understand. Ulamocha kol lishna dashtuye dishtoy parabade. So the next day, every language that Pare knew the 70 languages, every language that Pare spoke with them, Adelai, Yosef was able to answer. Now the Maral asks, what is going on here? Why was it necessary for him to know the 70 languages? And why did Gabriel have to come and teach it to him? He says, because in order to rule over a people, you have to know their language, you have to rule over their language. Generally a king rules over his own people, so he knows the language. But Pare had become a king of the entire world. And therefore you would have to be able to rule over all 70 languages of theirs. And that's what they asked, how can he become a king here? So Gabriel went and taught him the 70 languages. Then it states, Ishtoi'il b'loshin HaKodesh. When Pare spoke to him in all of the 70 languages and he answered, so Yosef decided, I'll try one on him. So he spoke to Pare in Loshin HaKodesh in Hebrew. Lahava Koyoda, Mayhava, Omar. Pari didn't understand what he said. And Pari became very shaky, because this was a sign that Yosef knew all of the 70 languages and Loshon HaKodesh. He was a greater Moshel, he was a greater ruler than Pari. Omele Agmere. So he said to Yosef, teach me this language. Agmere Vele Gomar. He taught it to him, but it was impossible for Pari to learn it, because he could only climb so far. But to rule over Loshon HaKodesh also, the Hebrew language, he couldn't. Omele Ishtaboi Li Dele Megalyus. So he said to Yosef, take an oath that you'll never tell any of my subjects that you know this language more than I do, because otherwise they could overthrow, they might overthrow me. So Yosef swore to him. So Yosef became a mighty king. This power that Yosef had of kingship, he gave also to his brother. The Torah tells us in Parshas Vayigash, Daf Mem Hei, Perek Mem Hei, Posuk Chof Beis. That when Yosef was reunited with his brothers, and they all got together, and they had a wonderful suda, and now he was sending them back to bring their father. L'chulam nosan li'ish khalifa ismoles. He gave to each one garments, one set of garments. Ule Binyamin nosan shleish me'ais kesef, and to his brother Binyamin, because this was his full brother, he gave him 300 pieces of silver, v'chomesh chalifei smoles, and five sets of garments. This is what the Torah tells us, and the Gemara brings in Masechta Megillah and daf tezayin amud beis. The Gemara says, it's Tezayin Seif Amud Aleph and Amud Beis. Efshe Dover Shenitztare Beis Tzadik Yikoshel Yikoshel Bei. Is it possible that what this Tzadik Yosef himself went through, he's going to bring on others? Because the whole Tzora that came on Yosef is because the other brothers became jealous of him, because they saw the favoritism of the father. And this is why he was sold as an eved, al yedei kinas och echov, because of the jealousy of his brothers. And now he's giving gifts to all the brothers, and to Binyamin, because he's his full brother, he gives more gifts. He's going to bring the same tzora, heaven forbid, on Binyamin. It was because that Yaakov gave Yosef a nicer coat than the others. This is the whole sequence of events took place, and we ended up going down to Egypt. Omar Rabbi Binyamin Bar Yefes Remez Romasloi. He didn't really give him more. Actually, the Gaon, the Vilna Gaon, explains this, that he didn't give him five sets and the others one set, and he was giving him more. But the five sets which he gave Binyamin were worth what the one set of garments was, which he gave to the others. So he gave each one equal gifts. But the question was now, but why by Binyamin did he decide to spread it out to five types of garments? Remes Romasloi. He was giving him a remes. He was giving him an inference. Sho'osid ben lotzeis mimenu. He was telling Binyamin that you, Binyamin, you will have a descendant. that will also be a mighty king like myself. Sheyetze melifnei hamelech, and he will walk in front of the king, bechamish levushe malchus, in five beautiful garments of royalty. Shenemar, as it states, umot chayotzor, it states in the Megillah, tezayin, no, excuse me, it states in the Megillah, in the Megillah Esther, umot chayotzor, melifnei hamelech, levush malchus. Mordechai went out from the king in garments of royalty. Tcheles, Chur, Aterezov, Gedola, Tachrit, Boots, the Argomon. This is in Esther, Megillas Esther, Ches, Posuk Tezvov, and it lists five different types of royal garments. Tcheles, Chur, Aterezov, Gedola, Tachrit, Boots, the Argomon. This is what he was telling Binyamin. Now, what was he doing here? He was doing more than telling Binyamin. He was saying that we are bonded together. We both come from the same womb. And even my children you had, and you named them after me. My Malchus I'm going to share with you. I have become a ruler of the entire world. You also will become a ruler of the entire world. But not yet, later. Your descendant, Mordechai and Esther. And these five garments will testify to it. You will see one day they will walk out with five garments of royalty in front of Ahasuerush, who at that time ruled Kuf Chav Zayin Medina, is 127 states, which made up the entire world. And just like I have become the viceroy to this powerful king, your descendant will be the viceroy to that powerful king. And just like that this king fears me, his chief advisor will be Mordechai. And the Medrash goes even further. The Medrash tells us in Medrash Rabbah Esther, in Medrash Rabbah Esther, Perek Zayin, Os Aleph. Vayhi bi'omram elov yom yom. Mordechai would not bow to Haman. Kolam, Kerim Mistachavim. The whole nation would bow to Haman. Kikach Sivalei Amelech, because the king so commanded. Umodchai lo yichre ve lo yishtachave, Mordechai would not bow. Vahi be omrom elov yom yom. And every day, the people and the advisors of the king, those who were close, every day they would ask him, why are you transgressing the mitzvahs of Melech and you're not bowing to them? Omer b'yechanan b'shem Rabbi Yomim b'Rabbi Levi boneo shorochel nison shove ugdulosan shove. The sons of Rochel, their tests are equal and their rewards are equal. Nison shove ahod d'ksi v'yi kedabr al yesev yom yom. Yosef was tested by the wife of Potiphar every day. Vayike dabra el Yosef yom yom. Every day she would try to entice him. Every day she would try again. The Gemara says, "Bagadim shalof sheba beker leilof sheba lailo." What she wore in the morning, she changed in the evening. What she wore in the evening, she changed in the morning. Vayike dabra al Yosef yom yom. Every day she was trying to entice him. Ukan ksi vayi be'omnam elob yom yom. And here, every day Mordechai was tested. Why are you not fulfilling the mitzvahs of the king? Why are you not bowing to Haman? Why are you transgressing
the mitzvahs of the king. V'leishoma aleihem u'lahalang siv leishoma eleho. And it states Mordechai did not listen to them, he did not pay heed to them, because he was adamant that what he was doing was right. And by Yosef it says, now Mordechai was the descendant of Binyamin, and by Yosef it states, v'leishoma eleho. He would not listen to her every day. So we see Nisan Shoveh, the descendants of Rachel, Yosef, and Mordechai from Binyamin were the same types. They both were tested equally. Ugdulosan Shoveh, and we see their rewards were equal. Hador d'ksiva Yosef pares tabate me'al yodoi v'yitein esha al yad Yosef. By Yosef it says that Pare took off his ring and he put it on the hand of Yosef. And he dressed him in royal garments. And here by Mordechai it says, he took off his ring, the king, that he took away from Haman, and he gave it to Mordechai. And there by Pare it's written, Vayirkav Esai b'mekeves ha-mishnah asher loy vayikra lefon v'avrech, that Pare put him in the royal charity, in the royal chariot, and they called in front of him Avrech. They all called in front of him Avrech, that he is a king, or he is so wise in wisdom and so young in years. The Kamksiv, and here it's written, Benosun halavush vehasus, that Mordechai was dressed in the royal garments, the korel afonov, and they called in front of him, Kocha yi'ose le'ish asher ha-melech chofetz bikorei. This is what is the way the king wants to honor the person. This is what the king does who wants to honor this person. So here we see how they both came as a pair. And in particular, Yosef and Binyamin were just contrary to Amalek. How do we see this? In general, Yosef was known as the Sitna Shel Esav. He was the one who was the great opponent of Esav. In Parshas Vayetze it says, Vayikah she yolda Rachel as Yosef, that only after Rachel gave birth to Yosef, that Yosef said, he went to Lavan and he said, Shalcheni ve'elcha amekemi, send me away, I want to go back to my place, Makomi ul'atzi. This is in Vayetze, Perek Lamed Poksuk Chof Hei. And there Rashi explains, because Yaakov was afraid to return until Yosef was born. Once Yosef was born, he said, I'm no longer afraid of Esav. Esav is like burning coals. Excuse me. He said, Yaakov is like a fire, like the burning coals. And Yosef is the flame. And Esav is the straw that will be burnt by Yosef. So in general we see that Yosef was the major opponent over Esav. But more than that we see that Yosef in particular was Dovak Bishchina. He was very close to the Shekhinah, he brought with him the presence of Hashem. And this is just the opposite of what we explained from Esav and Amalek, that they were Mevatel Shekhinah Hashem. They destroyed the Shekhinah. The Shekhinah is the representative of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's representation in this world. In Parshas Vayesev, Perek Lamedtes, Pasuk Beis, states, "Vayhi Hashem es Yosef." When Yosef was sold to Egypt and he ended up in the house of Potiphar, Hashem was with Yosef. "Vayhi ish matzliach," and he was successful. And "Vayara donov ki Hashem itoy," and his master saw that Hashem was with him. "Bechol asher hu aisa Hashem matzliach biyodoy," and everything that he does, Hashem was giving him success. "Vayhi birkas Hashem bechol asher yeshloy," and the bracha of Hashem was with him, with his master, babayis ubasoda, in the house and in the field. And the Chazal bring from here that wherever Yosef went, he brought the Shekhinah with him. Even in Egypt, even in Mitzrayim, Yosef was able to take the Shekhinah with him. And this is why he became such a great Baal Brocha. From the Shekhinah comes Brochas. Just to the contrary of Amalek. That Amalek destroys the Shekhinah. Wherever it is, Yosef had the power to bring the Shekhinah with him, even in Egypt. And Yosef was the Yorei Hashem. He feared Hashem. When Paroi asked him, "That I understand you can interpret dreams," Yosef said, "Ayan Yosef es Paroi lemor." This is in Miketz Mem Alef Tezai. "Bilodoi Hashem yane es le Paroi." He said, "It is not I that interpret the dreams. It is God who interprets the dreams." And in Miketz Mem Beis Posuk Yud Ches, when the sons came to him, his brothers, and they didn't know who he was, and he held them captive for 3 days, and there he had the power to take revenge against them because they had tried to murder him. "Vayema aleihem Yosef." Yosef said to him, "Vayema shlishi," on the third day, "Zos asu vichyu," "This you shall do and you shall live, as Hashem ani yorei," "because I fear Hashem. I cannot do any harm against you, even though you try to murder me, because as Hashem ani yorei," "because I fear Hashem." This is just the antithesis to Amalek, that by Amalek it states below yorei Hashem, where he did not fear Hashem. And they came to make war with Israel after the whole world feared Hashem, after they had seen the great miracles of Hashem in Egypt. And it was because that the Shekhinah was bound to Yosef, we find that the Mishkan Shiloh was in his territory. The Mishkan, which was built in the desert, traveled from place to place. When it came into Eretz Yisrael, it also traveled from place to place. But the most permanent place it had, which became the greatest place of the Mishkan in Eretz Yisrael, was Shiloh. And that, the Gemara tells us, was Bechelkei Shel Yosef. That was in the territory of Yosef. The Shekhinah was with him. And his campsite. Where was Yosef's campsite? This was the campsite of his two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh. This was on the west side, because the west side represents the Shekhinah, which is contrary to Esau, that was called Edom, that worshipped the sun, whose strength is in the east side, because there the sun is Helichum Isgabe, it rises and it reaches more power all of the time, while the west side is where it wanes, which the Gemara says shows us the power of Hashem, because the sun has to bow and submit to Hashem. Yosef's campsite was on the west side. This was Yosef. And we find the same and even more so with Binyamin. Binyamin, when Moshe came to give broches to the Shvatim, to the tribes, at the very end of the Sefer Torah, he said to Binyamin, this is in Dvorim Lamed Gimel Pasuk Yud Beis, Levinyamin Omar Yedid Hashem Yishkoin Levetach Olov. Binyamin is called Yedid Hashem. He is dear to Hashem because he also is very close to Hashem. Yishkoin Levetach Olov, the Shekhinah shall dwell by Binyamin. Chayfev Olov Kol Hayyim, the Shekhinah shall hover by him all of the time. From here the Gemara Darshan, what does this mean? The Shekhinah will dwell by him because the Makom HaMikdosh, the place of the Beis HaMikdosh, is Bechelkei Shel Binyamin, is in the territory of Binyamin. But Chayfev Kol Hayom, even more than Yosef, there he shall dwell forever. Uben Ksefav Shochem, and he will dwell, the place of the Mikdosh is on a mountain. And this is Binyamin's mountain. But it will not be at the top of the mountain. It will be at the shoulders of the mountain. Rashi brings that when David was looking for the place of the Beis HaMikdosh, they came to the top of the mountain, and then they said, Nachtei Bei Purta, we must go down a bit to the shoulders. The place is on the shoulders. And Binyamin's bracha here is before Yosef's bracha, but they're both together. And besides the fact that they were a pair and therefore they're both together, Rashi explains that they're both together because they're both speaking of the Shekhinah dwelling by Binyamin in the Beis HaMikdosh and by Yosef in Mishkan Shilai. But Binyamin's bracha comes before, because the Beis HaMikdash's place is even more dear than Shilai, because that was the Beis Olamim, that was where HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose to remain forever after Mishkan Shilai. And that's why it states that when the two were reunited, Yosef and Binyamin, they wept on each other's shoulders. And it states that Binyamin wept twice for Yosef, and Yosef wept once for Binyamin. Yosef wept twice for Binyamin on the two Beis HaMikdoshes that were to be destroyed. And Binyamin wept once by Yosef because of the Mishkan that was to be destroyed. And not only was it by coincidence, but to the contrary, we can ask the question, why is it that HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose the territory of Binyamin, or why was Binyamin zeicha to that territory that the Beis HaMikdash should be built there? And the Chazal, the sages give this answer. Because he never submitted himself to Esav. Esav, with his descendants, are the antithesis of the Beis HaMikdash. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Ein kisi sholem. My throne is not complete as long as Esav and Amalek are in the world. I cannot have a Beis HaMikdash here as long as Esav and Amalek are in the world. First we have to make war with Amalek and annihilate him and then build the Beis HaMikdash. And Binyamin was the only one who never submitted himself to Esav. Because when Yaakov returned from the house of Laban, and he came to Eretz Yisrael, and there he met Esav. So Yaakov, with all of his wives and all of his children, went and bowed to Esav. But not Binyamin. Because Binyamin wasn't born yet. Binyamin was born later. So it was only in Binyamin's territory. Well, it was because of this that Binyamin was zeicher to this merited the territory where HaKadosh Baruch Hu could dwell there forever. He could dwell by Yosef also, but not forever. Because Yosef had bowed to Esav. And we find that Yosef's greatest descendant, who was Yosef's greatest descendant? Yosef's greatest descendant was to come forth in later generations, Yeshua. When Yaakov came to bless the two sons of Yosef, Ephraim and Manasseh, he took his hands away from Manasseh, who was the eldest, and he went to Ephraim. And Yosef said, "Why are you doing this, Manasseh? Hu habachor, he's the eldest." Yaakov said, "Manasseh will be great, but Ephraim will be even greater. A great descendant will come from Ephraim, and that will be Yeshua. Yeshua will be the one who will teach Torah to all of Israel after the death of Moshe. And he will be the one who will bring Israel into Eretz Israel and conquer the land." And it's for this reason the Medrash says, the Medrash asks the question, that when they came out of Egypt, and it states, "Vayovei Amalek vayilochem im Yisrael berefidim." Amalek came to war with Israel. "Vayemei Meshal Yeshua." Moshe said to Yeshua, "Bechal lono anoshim v'tzei ilochim ba'amalek." Choose men and go and make war with Amalek. The Medrash asked, why did he choose Yeshua? There were many he could have chosen. And the Medrash says, "Loma Yeshua," this is in Beshalak Perichof Aleph Os Dalid, "Zikenecho omar es elekim ani yorei ubezeh kosuv v'lei yorei Hashem." You go, Yeshua. You have the schus. Because your grandfather was Yosef. And Yosef is the one who said, "Es elekim ani yorei. I cannot take revenge against the brothers because I fear Hashem." He was together with the Shekhinah. You will be able to conquer Amalek, who on them it is written, the Layore Elekim. They showed no fear to Hashem. After Shomo Amim Yurgozu and all of the nations heard and saw what happened in Egypt, by Yahweh Amalek, Amalek came to make war. So we find that from Yaakov came Yosef. And he was the opponent of Esav, and in particular Amalek. And from him came Yeshua. And Yeshua was sent to the first battle against Amalek. And then from Yaakov came Binyamin. And Yosef and Binyamin worked as a pair. They were both the sons of Rachel, the only sons of Rachel. And Binyamin was Shekhinah. His campsite was also on the west. The west was Binyamin, Ephraim, and Manasseh. And Binyamin, he was a total antithesis. Because he was the Shekhinah, a total antithesis to Amalek. And we find that he had descendants that will carry on that war. And first it was Shaul Amalek. Shaul became the great opponent of Amalek. And now it was Mordechai and Esther Yemini. The Medrash brings in Esther Perek Zayin Os Aleph. The Medrash says as follows. Every day they told Mordechai, why aren't you bowing to Haman? Mo Amar Lehem Mordechai. What did Mordechai answer? To those who said you are transgressing the commands of the king. Moshe Rabbeinu, he's alone of Beteira, Oro Isha Shiyase Pesel Masecho. I cannot bow to him because Moshe has commanded in the Torah, cursed is the man who will bow to an idol or who will make an idol. And this Haman has made himself into idolatry. And not only that, but Sha'ani is Gantirin Shalakorish Borchu. I especially cannot bow. I especially cannot bow to Haman, to this who has made himself as an idol, because I am special by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shekol HaShvatim Nold B'chutz La'aretz. All 11 sons of Yaakov were born outside of Eretz Yisrael in the house of Lavan. B'zikni Noled B'Eretz Yisrael. My grandfather Binyamin was born in Eretz Yisrael. And therefore, I am special by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I certainly cannot submit to this man, to Haman. Amrin Lei, Venemele. So they said, we'll go tell him. Miyad Vayegida Lo Haman. So they said, should we go tell Haman this? He says, yes, go tell Haman this. So it states, Vayegida Lo Haman, they went and told him. Omalon Haman. Haman answered. What did he answer? Amrin Lei Ziknei Hale Ishtachvele Ziknei. He says, what are you telling me? You cannot bow to me. Your Zayda, your grandfather, bowed to my grandfather. Hadohu deksiva tigashna shvoches, vahakach nigash Yosef v'rochel v'yishtachavu. It states that when Yaakov and Esav had their meeting, so Yaakov and all of the sons went and bowed to Esav. So your grandfather bowed to my grandfather, so why can't you bow to me? Amrin lei hadohu diksi. He answered, Edain lei neilad Binyamin. No, he said, my grandfather did not bow to you because Binyamin was not born yet. That's what it states. Vayagidu lo Haman, they went and they told Haman this. And this is what the Chazal tell us. The Ein Zari Shel Esav Nefel Ela Bidei Zari Shel Rachel. That the seed of Esav will fall only into the hands of the seed of Rachel. Tziri Hatzon, the youngest of the sheep. And this was what we saw, we were zeicher to see here by Mordechai and Esther. They had come from Shaul, who had come from Binyamin, who had come from Rachel. And we saw it by Yeshua, who came from Yosef, who came from Rachel. And through this was the great Hatzolah, the great Yeshua, the salvation of Purim through Mordechai v'Esther. We should be zecher to see, to live to see the total mechia, the total annihilation of Amalek. And we should merit to see many miracles like HaKadosh Baruch Hu did for us on Purim.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information, or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at P.O. Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.